That was the big deal with the Roman clampdown. Caesar was just paranoid. All the Caesars were paranoid. Jesus is saying, look, your job is technically not at stake here. I'm not trying to overthrow the Roman government. My kingdom is not of this world. Notice he didn't say my kingdom is not in this world. Because it was at that time, because the king was in this world, and the kingdom is wherever the king is. But isn't it interesting? The Amplified Bible renders this, I think, beautifully. When it talks about my kingdom is not of this world, the Amplified Bible says it is not earthly or human in its origin. Every election year, I want to print that out and hand it to people and say, we are not going to see God's kingdom in this world by electing a different party to office. That's not the way it's going to happen. It's going to happen when Jesus is the king in people's hearts, and you can't do that from the outside in. I wrote in parentheses in my Amplified Bible, my kingdom is not earthly or human in its origins, and I write in parentheses, or in its protection. I've told you many times, I'm more nervous about people trying to protect God's kingdom than I am just about any other thing, because they are known historically to just indiscriminately start lopping heads and ears and stuff like that, and God doesn't need our protection. He's God. There's this other scenario going on here, which other commentators have pointed out, that is also noteworthy. Pilate thinks Jesus is on trial, but really, Pilate's on trial. Everything's going to go down regardless of what Pilate decides. Everything's going to go down exactly the way God said it would. God's plan's going to unfold. Jesus' destiny is not at stake in Pilate's decision. Pilate's destiny is at stake in his decision. Just like you. And just like me. What you decide about Jesus is not going to affect who he is. He's going to go right on being who he is, whether you don't believe it or whether you do. But your destiny is at stake in who you say he is. And that's the issue I see unfolding here with Pilate. Jesus is making it personal. You know, your job's going to be safe. I wonder why he didn't say, but you're going to commit suicide because you're going to realize all of the Pilate errors that you had. My kingdom isn't of this world. My kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, verse 37. You're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. For this I came into the world. You can whiz right past that little statement, that little innocuous statement. This is the reason why I came into this world. Yeah, I am from another place. Later on, we're going to see it next week in chapter 19 here, and later on in Matthew 27. Pilate, when he finds out Jesus claims to be the Son of God, Pilate comes back and he says, what planet are you from? What world are you from? You're not normal. Similar thing, Jesus said, this is why I came into the world, and everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Boy, I know a lot of people who love the teaching of Jesus, especially about turning the other cheek, and, you know, I have lots of tree hugger friends, lots of animal rights friends. It's kind of my tribe. There's lots of stuff about that Jesus says that they really like, but they don't like some things like this because they paint you into a corner. The stuff that he said about I'm the way and nobody comes to God the Father except through me, they don't like that. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me, Jesus said. Now that's either arrogant or or delusional or true. Jesus said it in another way. He said, any man who wills, he said this to the religious leaders of Israel who were questioning whether he was a bad guy or a good guy. He said, if a man wills to do God's will, he'll know whether what I'm saying is of God or not. He'll know. The real issue, I say this to everybody that wants to argue with me about God being the ruler in their life. I said, the real issue is not whether you find a group of people that say you're right or a group of people that say you're wrong. Group of people that say your behavior is okay or a group of people that say, no, it's not. The real issue is if God tells you it's wrong, will you stop? Is he going to be the king or not be the king? You can't have him be the king and then do stuff he says you're not supposed to do. And everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. Now, why this is a big deal to me? It's because of my age. My generation totally wimped out on our ideals. We were the seekers of truth. Now we're the seekers of the stock market, and we're the seekers of, you know, better health programs, and the, you know, because we're old. And all the conversations I had back in the Flower Children and days about, oh, we're seekers of truth. Better lock your VW van or they'll steal your ashtray. And I'm not bitter about it, but I'm, you know, after all these years, I had two ashtrays stolen out of my 57 VW van. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? So you're a seeker of the truth. Boy, that just sounds so noble to say that. Okay, let me ask you this. Are you willing for something different than what you think is the truth to be the truth? Because that's what a seeker of truth does. A seeker of truth says, whatever is the truth, I will accept that. I don't know very many people in my generation that think that way. If you can talk about any form of religious or sexual deviant behavior or any kind of thing, and they are so open-minded until you say Jesus. And the minute you say Jesus, all the seeker of truth stuff goes out the window. The most intolerant people I've ever met are those people. Well, they're tied with religious intolerant people who sometimes claim to be seekers of the truth, but they still buffet their way through the Bible. I'll have some of this. I have some of that. I have a lot of that. And I don't want any of that. Is she here? Emma's not here. Emma's idea of Chinese food, because we took her to a Chinese buffet one time, is king crab legs, jello, and vanilla pudding. So when she gets a craving for Chinese food, we're thinking, oh, jello, tapioca pudding, and king crab legs. Seeker of truth. Sorry. It's just I kind of got off on that. I've got 8 more minutes, so hang in there. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. That's still true. I don't blame people for not wanting to listen to church people. I'm scared of church people. And the reason I'm a Christian is not because of church people. The reason not because I've found one, you know, dogmatic group of people that argue their doctrine and they've convinced me against the other doctrine. It's not about that at all. It's about Jesus. It's about the person. That's why I'm a Christian. And then when you find out that if you're truly on the side of truth and you're willing for the truth to be an absolute thing, which some people don't even believe anymore, you're going to find you're on the same side that he's on. And you're going to find that you want to hear what he has to say. So that applies, I think, to unbelievers and to people who are believers, non-religious people and religious people. In this particular instance, it's kind of interesting that Jesus is the focal center between religious people who want to kill him and Roman people who are either indifferent or bored with their indifference and in Pilate's case, just the puppet to the machine. He's just the speck on the wall. Just flick him off here. But see, there, this is supposed to be a court of law. Pilate, are you on the side of truth? I see that as another opportunity for Pilate to repent. That's the way I see it. And Pilate just sort of blows that off by saying, truth, what is truth? Why did he say that? Inquiring minds want to know. Well, we don't know. I mean, frankly, we don't know, it doesn't say. But I remember having this conversation with someone. I said, well, Pilate said, what is truth? Because, you know, truth is just out there. And so he doesn't want to enter into a philosophical discussion about truth. But he sure doesn't have the posture of a guy that cares about the truth, does he? He's in a court of law. He's making a decision that affects somebody's life. He's not hearing what he wants to hear. And he kind of flings that over his shoulder. What is the truth? And he goes out there. If he really was a philosopher, and that was a philosophical question, why did he leave? Why not hear what he has to say? I have a friend that pastors a church in Salt Lake City. Hi, Terry, if you're listening to this. And his radio program is called All About Jesus. I have another friend that teaches a radio program in Seattle. Hi, Wayne, if you're listening. Sure, they're not. And his radio program is called Consider Jesus. And it's about this. Okay, you're going to hear all kinds of opinions. Are you willing to look at the closest people to Jesus in Jesus' own mouth and consider what he says? Or are you going to find a convenient little niche, pigeonhole to stuff him into, and like Pilate did, and just wash your hands and say, okay, done with that? So Pilate, as he flung the what is truth over his shoulder, he goes out to the Jewish leaders and he says, you know, I don't really find anything that I can charge this guy with. You're going to see over next week, he says this three times. He makes a judicial admission. There's no evidence that this guy should be condemned. And yet he did condemn him. Can we flip back over before we close? I got 5 minutes. Somebody's counting. I know they are. I just want to talk about Pilate's wife having a dream. Because like I told you, I got a couple of years worth of mileage out of that. One little innocuous event. Pilate is deciding Jesus' fate, he thinks. In reality, Pilate is deciding Pilate's fate. While he's waiting, his wife sends a note and says, notice the wording. It's poignant. She said, I had a really disturbing dream today, middle of the day, not last night. I had a very disturbing dream that this man is innocent. While Pilate's deciding, I always hear the Mission Impossible theme music going through here, dun, 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 because, you know, the timing of this. She interrupts a legal proceeding to get a note to him right when he's sitting down to decide what he's going to do. Where did that dream come from? Why? If the dream came from God, obviously it did. Why would God send a dream like that? To stop everything? Let's stop this horrible mockery of a trial. Let's save this instant. Was it to stop anything? It means something. Because if you follow the thread of Mr. and Mrs. Pilate, after the Pilate errors, third time I've gotten it in there, his life, very shortly, he commits suicide. Her life takes a completely different direction, and she becomes a believer and becomes part of the early church that is ultimately persecuted for her faith. So why send the dream? I don't know. But I know who sent it. It wasn't the devil. Wasn't her own thoughts. But it affected her thoughts. Maybe God was just saying, Pilate, you won't listen to my son. Maybe you'll listen to your wife. He didn't. She did. Why is that comforting? You think somebody's unreachable? The real issue, does God think they're unreachable? Oh, they're not even thinking about spiritual things. But could God give somebody that they're related to a dream that would come in at a really, really opportune time and say, it reminded me of your mom and dad's friend. Here, you're thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to get through? How am I going to get through? And God's gone, oh, got it covered. I already got somebody there. You don't even know about him. See, I love this. I got 2 years worth of hope fighting off despair out of this. Every time I would start thinking, they're not listening, they're not listening, my life is in their hands and they're not listening, this little phrase would come, and Pilate's wife had a dream. And I'm thinking, okay. It's not out of your reach. Pilate still made his decision. All these people still made their decisions. Jesus from the cross said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Did God give Pilate opportunity after opportunity to back out? Yes, he did. Face to face, through the back door, through his wife. So bank on it. Maybe somebody is unreachable. Maybe they've closed you off. They won't hear anything that you have to say. God's hands are not tied. He's still able to get through. I find tremendous kindness in that. Jesus said, nobody takes my life away from me. I'm laying it down. Peter, you don't have to stop this. Nobody has to stop this. I came here to do this. But to the crowd of crazy people, to the religious leaders more than once, to Pilate, the governor, to Pilate's wife, he says, you don't have to be guilty of this. You can back out. I just love that. I love that about God's heart, because you know what? I can only see one reason for that. That's not the angry God that's just looking for a reason to fry sinners. That's a God of compassion who's doing everything he can to keep us out of hell. Let's pray. Thank you for giving that woman a dream, Lord, because it tells me so much about you. Thank you, Lord, for despite the direction that many of us were headed in our lives, you confronted us with the reality of who you are, and you still didn't impose your will. You let us make a choice. But you did interrupt our journey to hell because of your great love. My prayer, Lord, is that hearts would be soft toward you. Lord, my prayer is that my heart would be soft toward you. That I would be sensitive to all of your interruptions in my schedule and my day, because they could be big ones. They could be momentous events. They could be watershed moments. They could be forks in the road, and the rest of my life could be different in how I choose. Thank you for sending your son to pay for my sin. Thank you that you have us here today in your presence. Bless this day, Lord. I pray that dads would have a fabulous day with their kids. An exceptional time of just celebrating being a family. Be with us as we eat together, Lord, today. Those that stay, pray that our conversation would be such that builds one another up. Thank you for rescuing me from religion and bringing me to yourself. I love you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stick around if you can eat with us today.